Welcome to the January 27th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Following Jesus is a Decision. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I always know when it's time to get started because it gets quiet. Yeah, that is impressive. I don't know if it's just my presence. I don't know what that's pretty powerful stuff. But it's been good. I've missed being with you the last 2 weeks, and I'm glad to be back. And we are so excited that you have joined us for worship this morning. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families. We want to welcome our guests this day. We also want to make sure we have a record of everybody who's in attendance. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. Some of you have already started that this morning. We want to members and guests alike to fill that out and send it down the pews so everybody has a chance to fill that out. And this gives us contact information for you and lets us know that you were here. If, when it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be great. We do ask that the first person on the pew who signed it this morning, when it gets back to you, if you could rip out those pages and put it on top so our ushers can get those at the end of the service, that would be helpful. We have lots of announcements today I want to make. Most of the schedule you'll see is listed on the back of your bulletin. I want you to pay attention to those things. Several things that are happening this week, including we got basketball that's been going on, including our primary basketball league. That is for 4-year-olds through third graders. Happens every Thursday for the next 6 weeks. We want you to come on Thursday nights from 6:30 to 7:30 in Smith Hall. That's a fun time, and you're welcome to invite your friends to be a part of that. Let's see here. We've had for the last couple of months, our family ministry team has provided these great packs for children's bulletins. These bulletins that you'll find as you come into the sanctuary. These are designed for both young children and older children, and they go exactly with what will be the preaching will be on that day. And so it's a perfect way for your child to get involved in the worship service. So it comes with pencils and pens and those kinds of things to enjoy. So this is a good way, parents, to get your kids involved in the service. And so those are available. We appreciate the family ministry team making those available for us. So we hope that you take advantage of this great resource. Also, we want to make sure you know about our dinner and a show. Our young people are headed to the Bahamas. Our high school youth are going to the Bahamas on a mission trip. They have already had one great fundraiser that you have so well supported. We have another one that's coming up in 2 weeks. Wow, that's just scary to say. 2 weeks, we're having a dinner and a show. It is before Valentine's Day, so it's an early Valentine's Day gift that you can give. There will be a Saturday night dinner and a show and then a Sunday lunch. Because we know not everybody wants to come out at night, we're going to do a lunchtime show. So it's a great night of a wonderful meal followed by entertainment provided by the youth and other people in our church. It's less than a dinner and a movie for two. You can come to church, get an excellent meal, and a show that you won't forget. So we want you to be a part of that. Those tickets are on sale now. We have all of our high school youth who are going are the ones that are selling those tickets. And so we want you to support that in any way you possibly can. Now, some of you, when we say a Bahamas mission trip, what comes to your mind? I guarantee you it's not what you're thinking. And our youth are going to have a presentation this Wednesday night during the regular prayer and Bible study time to tell you a little bit about what we're going to be doing. we certainly need all the prayer, all the financial support you can give, but we need the prayer and encouragement support as well. And we want you to understand what you're putting your money and your prayer to. So Wednesday night, we want you to come into Smith Hall and to see what our young people will be doing. And then we'll have our young people right after. You can buy all the dinner show tickets that you possibly can to give away to friends or whatever right after that presentation on Wednesday. So please come and be a part of that. Let me see. I want Russell Talley. Come on, man.
All right. Why in the heck am I up here? I don't probably seem to be your prototype WMU booster, although that's why I'm here today. And by the way, the correct pronunciation is WMU, not WMU, please. I didn't grow up Baptist or even Christian, really, for that matter, so I didn't really get schooled on the WMU when I was a kid and all the virtues of that group. But when Sarah and I first started coming to College Park, not too long after we were married, it was very quickly apparent to me that the WMU was one of the engines that drives College Park and indeed the Southern Baptist faith throughout. It seems to me no other group is more focused on the daily prayers and the effort that's needed to make missions and world evangelism a real thing, a vibrant thing, than this particular group. The prayers, the reminders, the missions groups, just the agape love that the WMU shows all the time, they just make it one of the driving forces, I think, for the Baptist corner of God's kingdom. And what do driving forces and engines need to keep running?
Fuel.
I'm liking this group, Raymond. I think they're good. And what is the fuel, folks, that drives the WMU? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Now, what is the goal for the WMU offering this time around? Anybody remember? Oh, that is so low. I tell you what, folks, I don't want you to think of that as a goal. I want you to think of it as a threshold of embarrassment. I want to be so far above that goal that it's just like, you know, if we're below that, man, that's embarrassing. And we want to be way up above that one. That's just, wow. For this church, no sweat. So you'll find in the pews and around the church, and if you run out, please let us know, WMU investment envelopes. Here they are, folks. They're all around. You can find one. I want you to write a big old check or dust off that billfold and pull out some long green for this one, folks. The money you invest now in this group will pay huge dividends for the kingdom. I promise. Thank you.
He needs to be on stewardship. That's all I'm saying. Let's see. Come on up, Jerry.
Thanks, Russell. I'd like to invite as many people as possible to join us on February 23rd. The Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry is going to be doing a unique program at the First Assembly Church, and we're needing some help, volunteers primarily, and you can work in time blocks from 9 to 5. The program is called Forgiven Ministries, and it's a new program that the Forsyth Jail and Ministry is doing to try to reconnect inmates with their children. It's a very positive program. It's a program that's nationally, but it requires people to be in the peripheral to help out in a variety of areas, anywhere from parking lot duties, serving food, preparing snacks, working some with the children. You can call the Joan and the church office. There's forms that have to be filled out so they know who you are, or Gary Elkins or myself. But on February 23rd from 9 to 5, if you have time available, We love your help. We're very active at the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry, and any of your time you have would be greatly appreciated.
Thanks, Jerry. Angie. Where's Angie? There she is. Come on.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about a wonderful project that the Girls in Action are doing coming up February 16th. We are hosting a baby shower for donations to the Second Harvest Food Bank. The girls have been working very hard to prepare for this. They've worked on decorations. They've worked on planning activities and things for participants to do during this baby shower. Again, all of the donations will go to the Second Harvest Food Bank, baby donations. Right now, the Second Harvest Food Bank they're in need of baby items to be donated, such as baby diapers, as well as any non-perishable food items. And they're also in need of baby food, but as long as it's not in glass baby food jars. So that's coming up on February 16th from 2 to 4. You're welcome to come and attend, have wonderful baby shower games and food and refreshments, and just enjoy participating in this mission project with the Girls in Action. Thank you for your help.
So as you see, we have lots that's going on in our community of faith and other things I'll draw your attention to. We are beginning a series next week. You'll find this in your bulletin. Just walk across the room. It's a four-week campaign talking about just lifestyle evangelism, kind of how do you even just bring up the conversation of talking about our faith. And this is something we want you to be a part of. Not only will it happen on Sunday mornings, but there will be small groups that you will have a chance to be a part of. There are books that are available, as well as sign-up sheets to be a part of those small groups on the Welcome Center desk. So we'd like for you to go there. If you have any questions, feel free to ask Mary or to ask Raymond, ask me, and I'll ask Raymond or Mary, whatever you want to do. That would be... We want you to be a part of this very important series that we'll be studying. Also, been asked to remind everybody, if you have a cell phone this morning, if you wouldn't mind just putting that on vibrate or off, or if that would be very helpful as we continue in worship. As we prepare our hearts in worship, I want to remind the children that we are having children's time today. So just a little bit later in the service, you'll be meeting me down front and spending a few minutes together. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pads. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand so our ushers can find you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as the current newsletter that tells you what's happening right now in the life of our church and a little bit of the history, the story of College Park. We appreciate your presence with us this day, and we hope that this tells you a little bit about us. And we are so glad that you are joining us in worship. You've heard a lot about what our community of faith is doing, the activities, the things that are happening in our schedule. But this is when the community of faith really happens, when we are together in worship, and when we are together to celebrate God's amazing grace. And before we do that, we have a special announcement. Mr. Van Kreutz, would you come on up?
Good morning. I'd like for every Eagle Scout in the audience to please stand. Every person that was an Eagle Scout, if you would look around, please. Eagle Scout is the highest honor in Boy Scouting. Less than 5% of all Scouts achieve this rank. This afternoon, we're going to be honoring Ryan Minster at 2:30 in Smith Hall. It's very important that everybody support Ryan this afternoon. It'll be at 2:30 at Smith Hall, and food will be served. Thank you.
This morning, you will find a responsive reading in your bulletin. This is our invitation to share in worship. This is our time to prepare our hearts for what God may do in us and through us this day. So we invite you to turn to this invitation to share in worship from Psalm 27, selected verses. It is a responsive reading, and I invite you to stand now. Please read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me.
At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face.
Your face, Lord, I will seek.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, on this day, you have called these people, your people, together in this place of worship. And Father, the thing that we all share in common is our need for a Savior. Regardless of our life circumstance, regardless of where we find ourselves today, we all have that in common, the need for Jesus Christ. And so, Father, something has drawn us to this place today. And we know that it is your Spirit. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would reign in our hearts, would have complete control of this place. That everything that is said, everything that is sung, everything that is prayed, every note of the music, every scripture read, may it have one purpose and one purpose alone: to glorify you. This is our goal, and this is our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
want all the kids to come on down. Yeah, seeing them coming. Yeah, see them coming. Good, good. All right. There's Sam. How is everybody this morning? Good. Are you good or good?
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't real sure. Hey, I was kind of hungry this morning. And come, hello there. How are you? All right. I was hungry this morning, and I decided I needed a cookie. Do you ever have that? You just want a cookie like really bad? Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I have some cookies, and I walk into the store, and
I want to eat something.
You do? Well, let's see how well you do in the next couple minutes, and we might give you a cookie. Now I walked into the store, and you see all these cookies, and you go, how do you choose which? I mean, there's chocolate chip, and there's sugar cookies, and then there's Oreos. I mean, the Oreos, they're just kind of like the top dog. They're the best. I mean, they're even Milk's favorite cookie. I mean, they are the best cookies. And so, you know, I was trying, is this what I want? I mean, how do I know it's really good? I mean, because I hear, don't people like these cookies?
Yeah.
See?
The best cookies.
The best ever.
Whenever I dip them into the milk, I eat them and I get all done.
I know, they're good. And so we hear that they're good, and then you look and you see that they're made by a company called Nabisco. Well, they make a lot of good stuff, so the company's good. Well, you know, I think, well, the price was good. It was only a couple of dollars, so that's pretty good. But I still don't know if they're really good. I hear that they're good. I know the company's kind of good. And, well, I guess I just got to open them. I mean, let's see. Ooh, yeah, they look pretty good. No, wait. We'll see how good. Y'all are doing well. Not yet. Anybody reaching? I'm not giving a cookie. No cookies for reaching people. Yeah. Yeah, it worked. Okay. Now they kind of smell good. When you open the bag, don't they smell good? But I still don't know if they're good. So there's only really one test. Yep. Yeah, these are mine. Okay. Now, I couldn't really tell if this was going to taste good. Even though somebody said it was good, and the company is pretty good, and the price was pretty good, and it smelled good, I didn't know until I actually tasted it. Here's the same thing is true about our belief in Jesus. We can hear about Jesus all we want, right? People can talk about him all the time. We can read the book. We can hear the church is great. We can even come and feel good here. The cost for Jesus is free. I mean, that's perfect. But until we completely take Jesus into our life, we won't really know if he's good or not. Unless we have complete trust in Jesus, then we won't be doing exactly what God wants us. We have to take Jesus in, every bit of us. We can't just talk about it, right? We got to live it out. That means when we come to Sunday school and we hear about honoring mom and dad, we can't just talk about it. We have to go home and do it, right?
Okay.
Well, the only other question I've got is whether I need to share these or not. I'm going to give everybody one as you leave, but we're going to pray. But you can't make a mess, or Fuzzy's going to. Two.
Three. I want
all of them.
I want 100.
I'll work on it. All right. We'll work. We'll get these after church. You can see me after church today, and I'll give you all you want. Let's pray together. Will you pray with
me?
Pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these wonderful children who you have given them so much energy and love for you. Father, we pray that you remind us every day that it's not just about what we hear. It's not just about what we see. It's about what we do. It's about completely trusting in you. And that's what we're about. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, see me after church. I'll give you some more yours.
right outside.
Jeff did say there would be Oreos on the information center for everyone after the service. This morning, we'll be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. It's in your pew Bibles on page 489 if you'd like to follow along. And we'll be reading the first four verses from Isaiah 9. And then going to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And now from 1 Corinthians, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Will you pray with me? Merciful God, it is right to come to you, to your house, on this day for worship. We are a body of believers that oftentimes may disagree on some matters, some issues. And yet we are gathered here this day to worship you for one reason and one reason alone, and that is your Son, Jesus. We pray for unity, God. We pray for unity in our congregation. Many exciting things are happening, and we need the support of a unified congregation, a unified body of Christ. We pray for unity in our country. This being an election year, Father, we pray for wisdom and commitment from our leaders and from those who will become our leaders. We pray for unity in our families. Sometimes we get caught up in what seems to be important squabbles or matters that cause so much pain. Father, we know that you are the one unifying presence that can make all this happen. We ask for your Spirit to fall on us, to fall on our church, our country, our families, our loved ones, our friends, and our enemies. For only you can provide the unity that we so desperately need right now. Father, we thank you for your willingness to be here this morning. What an honor it is to sing to you. What an honor it is to approach your throne and speak to you, directly to you. What an honor it is to say that we have been saved by you, by your Son, Jesus Christ, erasing our sins forever. We thank you for that, Father. And we love you. In Christ's name, amen.
Close our eyes and bow our heads and open our hearts. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. And Father, we ask you to be in our hearts and accept these blessings and these tithes that we give back to you. Lord, we know where much is given, much is expected. And Father, we ask you to help us to do your mission, to do your calling, and to be your ministers this day and the days forward. These things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
I want to invite you this morning to take your Bible out. If you don't happen to have a copy with you, that's okay. There, as Ward says, there's a pew Bible there, hopefully in front of you. I invite you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And we'll be reading a few verses together from Matthew chapter 4. We'll be picking up at verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. And when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was being said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Fascinating passage of scripture for a number of reasons, but I want you for just a moment to visualize in your own mind standing there beside the sea with Andrew and Peter, or visualize yourself sitting in the boat with James and John and their father. I want you to pretend like you can just literally taste the salt air that's all around you. And imagine for a moment that familiar surrounding, the Sea of Galilee, all the sounds and smells of the sea, the salt air, all of that is comfortable. It's home. It's where you feel at ease. And my question to you would be, would you suddenly drop everything that was comfortable, everything that was best known to you, and go traipsing off who knows where with a man who just happened to show up one day and claimed authority and suggest that he could make a difference? You know, when this man looks at you and says, "Follow me," wouldn't you first want to find out just a little bit more information? Follow you, okay, where? Where are we going? You don't get in a car with someone, they say, "Come on, just ride with me." You want to go, "Well, where are you going?" Or, "What are we going to be doing?" Follow you, okay, to do what? What are we going to be doing? Where are we going? Wouldn't you want some kind of assurance about a payoff? Now, it wouldn't have to be monetary. It's not like, "Well, what are you going to pay me?" Not necessarily. It's like, what kind of payoff is there? Is it an emotional payoff, a spiritual payoff? What are we talking about here? Why should I follow you? Perhaps you would think to yourself, after processing all of this information, you know, the Sea of Galilee is a pretty good place. You know, people may be critical of my lifestyle, but you know what? It's a living. Being a fisherman is a good living. This is home. This is comfortable. So when we hear the invitation of Jesus, when he says, "Follow me," maybe it's as if time and place kind of fade a little bit. You know, his words, as he presents them, slice through the centuries between when he first spoke those words and when we first hear those words. Questions come to our minds as well. Questions like, what do these words from the mouth of Jesus mean for our lives? What does that mean for me? Is there any relationship between the implication of those words back then and their application to my life now in 21st century America? Because let's be honest about this. You know, familiarity and distance kind of dull the sensitivity. You know, we've all read the stories. We've grown up with the stories since we were the age of those children. You know, the stories about Jesus, about him saying to the disciples, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We've heard that. We've heard all those stories. We've heard the words of Jesus as they've been preached and as they've been taught to us. And sometimes as we hear all of that over and over and over, the sharp edges have kind of been blunted. You know, the propensity to shock has been stifled and the radical nature of his words have been erased. And they seem to come from a time that really doesn't exist anymore. You know, I oftentimes wonder if we can even really hear the words of Jesus today, let alone follow those words and to follow him. Because if we're really honest, most of us would have to admit that we really don't believe that a person can live in the world today as Jesus instructed us to live. If we're honest, we would have doubts about that. Let me give you an example. Just, you know, when we think we can agree with Jesus on something wholeheartedly like the authority of the law, just when we think we've got that, he breaks the law, erring on the side of compassion. And we can't handle that. That's difficult for us. Law subjected to compassion? Think of what kind of chaos that would create in our communities. You know, we understand justice, but Jesus seems to elevate grace and mercy. So how on earth can we expect anyone to ever learn the difference between right and wrong if Jesus keeps talking about forgiveness and rehabilitation? That just doesn't seem like a good way to run a church, let alone a society, does it? But Jesus' vision defies reason. You know, he knows the power of coins. He knows the might of military forces. He talks about the influence of governmental control, but he insists that nothing is as important as love. What's more, he expects us to live by that kind of love. You know, he commends help for the poor as a authentic identification of religion, authentic religion. He seems to honestly believe that responses to those who are in need indicates the nature of our belief, our faith in God, or lack thereof. Hey, if that weren't enough, Jesus tells us to forgive people who've done us wrong. He tells us to pray for our enemies. He tells us to return good for evil. Can you believe that? Literally, can you believe that? I think we have to look carefully at this man from Nazareth. He does not invite our reflection on a theory. Rather, he asks for our obedience to his summons that can alter reality. He's serious. He's not dead serious, he's alive serious. And we have to be honest. Be honest, at least with yourself and God, if no one else. Be honest. Following Jesus really is not all it's cracked up to be in contemporary Christendom. If you think about it, to follow Jesus means to pay attention to aspects of our lives that we would prefer to ignore. Following Christ means that we have to stop talking out of both sides of our mouths just to please everybody. It means we have to come down on the side of grace, even if it means that we're going to bear the brunt of harsh criticism. It means we have to practice a stewardship of life that's based on recognizing that everything that we have belongs to God. And everything finds its best use when it's channeled in support of helping others. It means we have to turn loose of our prejudices It means we have to stop putting people down just in order to elevate ourselves and our own interest. It means we have to work to support the work of God in the world, not out of the abundance of our resources, but out of the fullness of our resources. When Jesus showed up, as we read in this account this morning, when he showed up to these four brothers, James and, well, two pairs of brothers, James and Andrew, Peter and John, they didn't know him. As the saying goes, they didn't know him from Adam's house cat. They had heard about him. Word traveled quickly. I'm sure they had heard about him. What John had proclaimed, they had heard, I'm sure. But yet he shows up and he calls them by name and he asks for their undying loyalty. To follow me was asking for their undying loyalty. That's what he was asking of them. You know, we have the benefit of thousands of years of evidence to deal with the credibility of the person of Jesus. We have evidence of the power of his authority. We understand his vision as it was cast. We understand, we know the healing in his ministry. We know all of that, and we hesitate to heed his call. So it makes me even more amazed that these four men followed Jesus with that kind of immediacy. It blows me away. So this morning, I challenge you, let's put everything out on the table. You know, hymn number 305 notwithstanding, how much evidence is there that there have really been scores of people who have decided to follow Jesus? Now, granted, many have accepted him as Savior. Many have confessed him to be the Son of God. And many have joined churches that have convened in his name. But what about really following him? Honestly, totally following Jesus. I believe at the center of Christianity stands such a decision. You know, the decision about following Jesus. And at that point in our lives, worlds collide, literally. Kingdoms intersect. Authorities vie for power in our own hearts and our own minds. Priorities compete for recognition. Self-interest prevails and lives change forever. Or we remain on a course just pretty much the same status quo. The importance of Jesus' words, follow me. Follow me. The importance of those words is not found in how some fishing buddies responded. The importance of those words is how we respond to him today. He comes to us, as Albert Schweitzer reminded us, with the same demand, calling us to the task in need of fulfillment in our time. You know, and as Schweitzer observed, Jesus fully reveals himself to those who obey, to those who in toils and in conflicts and in suffering experience his fellowship. There in responding yes, in following Jesus as he is commanded, we learn who he really is. So it's a decision. What have you decided? Status quo or follow Jesus? Let's pray together. Dear Father, it's frightening because as human beings, we have a tendency to try to control circumstances around us. Try to control the course of our own life because there seems to be security in that. I know you find that amusing. And if we really think about it, Father, it is kind of amusing because we know that ultimately we have no control. Especially as believers who say that we've surrendered control to you, we shouldn't desire any control. But yet we find ourselves at times when that's exactly what we seem to desire. And we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for a revelation of who you are more completely to us through your Son, Jesus. And Father, we pray that as your children, we would be faithful to completely surrender who we are and what we have for the sake of following Him. And it's in His name that we pray and ask for help. Amen. This morning, that is the invitation. As you've been here in worship, I hope that you have experienced the leading of the Holy Spirit in your own life, that you've heard His call to follow Him. If you're not yet a believer, I'd be glad to share with you how you can accept Jesus Christ and answer yes to His invitation to follow Him. If you are a believer, but perhaps you're not completely surrendered to following Him, I want to give you an opportunity to pray where you are, or you certainly may come. The altar is open. Come and pray and surrender, completely surrender, and make a decision of your mind to follow Jesus, to follow His example. If you are here and you're a believer and you would like to be a part of this congregation, we would love to talk with you about how we accept members and be glad to do that. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that decision as we stand and as we sing together now, I have decided to follow Jesus. Invite you to be back tonight for our live service at 7 o'clock. They'll also be continuing at 6 o'clock with the Amazing Grace study of Romans. Invite you to be a part of that if you would desire to be here. We would love for you to be here with us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the chance to be together, because in being together we can experience the warmth of fellowship, fellowship with one another, and fellowship with your Holy Spirit. Father, now as we go, we pray that that same Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and strengthen us, comfort us in our time of need, empower us in the time when you call us to boldness. And if we will do that, Father, we know that our lives will be enriched and our discipleship will be increased. It's in the name of our precious Savior that we ask these things. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N at collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.